from Formula One to MotoGP. This is your home for all of the fastest motorsports on the planet. This is Beyond the Visor. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Beyond the Visor. Once again, I'm Michael Hernandez, and alongside me, Bobby C. Bobby, how are you?
Sprinting into another podcast with you, Michael. Super excited for this one, even though I know our introduction features Max Verstappen and he's the championship leader, but I'm very curious your thoughts, and we'll talk about it today in terms of race predictions, because I know Mad Max has not been that good at this circuit that's coming up on the weekend.
That is true. That is true. The upcoming race, the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. But before we get into that, and this first part actually relates to it, it was announced that this week the sprint format has been changed for the upcoming sprint for the sprint race in Azerbaijan. So it's huge, huge news. Just to give our viewers a bit of backstory, in 2021, apologies, the sprint race was added a part of an F1 weekend. It took place at certain races. For example, in 2021, it was in Silverstone and at other tracks throughout the year. And during a normal race weekend, you have the three free practice sessions, two on Friday, one on Saturday, then qualifying, and then the race on Sunday. But the old sprint format took away one of those free practice sessions. So now you had FP1 on Friday, qualifying instead of FP2, then FP2 was moved to FP3, and then where qualifying was, that's where the sprint race was. The sprint race was a third of the distance of the actual race, no pit stops were needed, and it was a literal sprint. Then the order of that sprint would set the order for the race. So qualifying would set the order for the sprint, and then sprint would set the qualifying the sprint would set the order for the race. So many terms, I'm confusing myself. But that's how it was. However, this year, they've done it a bit differently, and we're actually going to break it down right now. So now it's Friday. It starts off with free practice one, so that's the same. So not to worry. Your first practice session will be there for all the drivers to get used to the track. Then there is qualifying on Friday, so that part is still the same from last year. However, here's where things get interesting. Instead of FP2, which would have taken place on Saturday on a sprint weekend, now it's another sprint qualifying. This special sprint qualifying sets the grid for the sprint later that day. Now, the one thing to note here is that the result of the sprint has no effect on the race. So the qualifying on Friday now tells you the starting grid on Sunday. So it's a bit different in the way that the sprint technically no longer matters in your grid position. The points are still up for grabs. You get 8 points if you win the sprint, and then second gets 7, 6, third gets 6th, fourth gets 5, and so on, up until 8th, they get the lone point. So you still get points from the sprint, but your sprint finishing order has no impact on the race. And I think the reason for this, and maybe I might be wrong, Bobby, and you're free to input on this, is to, I guess, promote more racing in the sprint race. Because say that you're in a very competitive car and you're second or third, you know that if you make one mistake, if you crash out, if you collide with another car, you're going to be in the back of the grid for the race on Sunday. Now that your sprint position no longer affects your actual race, you know, that might make them want to go more all out, because it doesn't really matter, you know, oh, if I crash out in the sprint, I don't care. I'm still going to be P2 on the grid on Sunday. So I think that's a very, very interesting take on how to maybe try to promote racing, in that, you know, it doesn't really matter where I finish, because, you know, what matters for the race is qualifying. So if you're P1, you're guaranteed to start there on Sunday, and you can basically, you know, drive all out on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the premise of that would be good on paper, Michael. I don't know. I think for me, having it be a sprint that gets factored in, I always think to myself, is that going to potentially make it so that we could see some damage to some of these cars, especially with some of the drivers, like I said, that have maybe not done as well at Baku in the past? And that could be, you know, even someone like Max Verstappen, who, if he does not do well, you know, it'll shake things up at the top. And I'm not saying I'm rooting for that, but you and I, even before coming onto the podcast, we're talking about how we would love to see there be some drama, this weekend because
some chaos. Yeah,
a little bit of chaos because I think it will open the door for there to be more of a challenge at the top of this championship. And I think that was something we talked about last week on the show a little bit, right? How great IndyCar is because of not knowing week to week who the driver that's going to win is going to be. And not saying that we totally know all the time, because even with our race predictions, we haven't been right all the time on the podcast so far. But I think it's also because we have ventured off at times and suggested seeing some different podiums. Just because we're rooting for that, we want to see some drama.
Now, I'm going to be honest. You know, the race hasn't happened yet, so you know we've just been given this information literally this week. Why they waited to do that after, you know, 3 weeks after Australia is beyond me. But we really don't know how it's going to shake out. Like all, you know, to me, I think it's a good idea because now it removed. You know, now there's only one free practice session because then you have free practice, qualifying for the race. Then another qualifying, which I should mention, the qualifying on Saturday for the sprint, it's a lot shorter, and there's mandatory tires. So that's a bit interesting. So you're going to be on mediums for Q1 and Q2, and then softs for Q3, and it's a shorter time for qualifying. So you have 12 minutes for Q1, 10 minutes for Q2, and 8 minutes for Q3. One thing to note is that for Q3, you know, you need, like, 8 minutes seems like a lot of time for us, but if you take a look at, you know, you need to do your out lap, then your actual, you know, flying lap, then your in lap to go into the pits, refuel the car, change the tires. That 8 minute window, I think that might be tight, which forces the drivers to really attack qualifying, which I think is the sprint qualifying, which I think is great because it replaces it instead of a free practice session. So instead of, you know, cars just maybe not going all out, you know, they're just gathering data. Instead of that, now it's replaced with cars pushing to the absolute limit. Obviously, there's not as many points up for grabs in the sprint race, but it's still, you know, it will force drivers to push more over the weekend because it replaces a free practice session. Instead of it replaces the free practice session, but it's going to be very interesting. Obviously, it's like I said, we really don't know what it's going to look like. All we know is this is the plan. You know, I'm very excited to see how it happens.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great to see if it has any impact on the result. I'm sure the casual fan probably won't care very much.
I'm not gonna lie, this is a poor weekend for it to be a first race because, you know, if you're coming in, you're like, oh, we have three practice sessions, then qualifying, and then the race. This weekend's like, nah. We're going to do this, then this, then this, then this. And, like, even I'm a little bit confused, but I think I have the grasp of it. But it's going to be very interesting to see how it goes. But only time will tell to see if this is a good idea or not.
I want to see it have an actual impact on how the qualifications shake out, and then if that has any impact on the race itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think one way that it could have an impact on the race is, well, maybe not in the race, but just for the weekend, it forces drivers to push more in the sprint because now you have nothing to lose, so maybe better racing. As for the race itself, I'm sure that it will cause an issue with the tires, you know, for example, because you only get a certain amount of tire sets per weekend. So now the question is, what type of tires are you putting? Like, you know, if you're a Red Bull, in Q1 and Q2, are you using different mediums every time, or are you just going to use an old set to get you through to Q3? You know, are you going to go for two flying runs in Q3 and use two sets or just one set? Like, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how the tire allocation goes for the teams because one thing that is very important is the tire wear. Because, you know, if you're in qualifying, you can use two sets to give you the fastest possible time for qualifying, but then in the race, say there's a last minute safety car like there was a couple of years ago, which we'll get to, and you know, now you're stuck on, let's say you're on old hards while everyone else on the grid has fresh softs because they didn't need to use it in Q3. So it's going to be very interesting, at least to me, if something happens at the end of the race, how will or during the race, how will you use the rest of your tires? Well, you know, because obviously the softs are the fastest, the mediums are medium, and the hards are the slowest, but you know, you have the durability of the tires, so it's going to be very interesting to see how the teams use this extra
strategy.
Exactly, like the strategy 100%. Is going to be very important because now you're using more tires, and I guess I'm not sure how to phrase this, but obviously when you're in a qualifying, you're pushing the tire a lot harder than you would be in a free practice session. So instead of having a slightly maybe one lap used soft tire, now you're having like, oh, you've already put three laps on this soft tire. Is that really going to give you the best performance? Is it better to just stay out if something happens late in the race? So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this new sprint format affects the race. But before we get into the race, one more piece of breaking news. This actually just happened like an hour ago. I was actually at the gym, and then I get the notification, so I texted you, Bobby. Franz Tost, the team principal of AlphaTauri, is stepping down at the end of this year. I mean, Bobby, I'm going to turn it over to you first. What's your instant reaction on that?
Well, I would be curious to want to know why. I mean, I think that that is a team that I thought was making some strides, you know, in terms of their development. I would be curious to hear what the reason is.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. He's been in the sport for a long time. I honestly can't think when he – I think he started, like, in 2000. So he's obviously had a long career at F1. He's one of the longest-serving team bosses. I believe he took it over when I believe he took it over in 2005. So he's been there for – I'm trying to do some quick math – 18 years? Well, this would have been his 18th season, but the team has confirmed that he is leaving. However, he is staying on as a consultant. So if anything, he's just stepping back because, you know, he is pretty old. He's 67. You know, he's been through a lot of races. But it's going to be very interesting because one thing to note is that his replacement is from Ferrari. And I'm going to ask you, as a Ferrari fan, I'm going to butcher his name, but just work with me. Laurent Mekies? I'm sure I butchered it. I'm sorry. But, you know, how do you feel about someone from Ferrari leaving to take on the team principal role in AlphaTauri?
Well, I'm sure that's a boost up in that position for, you know, for him. And that's probably a big part of that. I mean, it would make sense when there are openings on the grid, just like it is for the drivers, that even if there's some allegiance to the teams that they may have, that the goal is to make progress. So it's a big opportunity, a big job. And I would expect anybody to want. I mean, that was what I teased you, right? I was like, I'm going to apply.
Yeah, I mean, if you get it, I expect, you know, complete free passes
to the paddock every single
race. I also expect the best hotel for me and airfare as
you
well.
You want a lot of things.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, jobs like that probably get posted on, like, the F1 website.
I'll see that on somebody. LinkedIn. Yeah, I'm pretty sure on LinkedIn I won't see that.
But, you know, we've talked about this too many times off the air and to some degree even on the air. Some of these other teams that are, I don't want to say middle of the road or at the bottom, but, you know, it is a struggle for them because in this particular sport, F1 does not make it easy on some of the teams that are not named Red Bull, Mercedes, Ferrari.
Yeah.
And, that means that, you know, I'm sure in a position like that, I'm speculating here, but I'm sure it's not an easy role.
Yeah. So I think that's all the breaking news that has happened
at the moment,
past couple
sure.
of days. Well, at the moment, you never know. I swear, if, like, just as we're about to end the episode, if I see something, I'm going to be mad.
I thought last week we didn't talk about, and again, we spent a little bit of time last time on the podcast trying to talk a little bit about some of the different series, but I thought one of the interesting stories was that story about Michael Schumacher. Did you
which story was this?
About the German reporter that used the artificial intelligence.
Yeah, no, that is wild. I think that was ridiculous. Because I'm pretty sure the family was like livid.
Oh, yeah, no,
yeah, and rightfully so. But enough about that. Now we're gonna move on to the actual reason why we're doing this podcast, because it's race week. It's been a long time since I've been able to say that. So as we said, the Azerbaijan Grand Prix is the upcoming race. It is at the Baku City Circuit, and just like the last time and for the other races, I'm going to give you some fun facts to you, Bobby, and I guess to our viewers as well. The first Grand Prix was in 2016, 51 laps. The circuit length is pretty long, 6.003 kilometers, with a total race distance of 306.049 kilometers, and the lap record is 1:43.009. It was made in 2019, and I'm going to let you take a guess as to who has the lap record.
Charles Leclerc.
Yes, it is indeed Charles Leclerc. Obviously, this is a pretty...
As a Ferrari fan, I should know that.
Yeah,
probably,
yeah, you
right?
should. So, obviously, the first Grand Prix was in 2016, so it's a pretty new circuit. However, I think it's quickly become one of my favorites, because if you take a look at the circuit, You know, you have some sectors that it's literally just a straight. You know, you have sector one where it's literally a couple of 90-degree turns and just straights. You have the back straight coming out of sector three. But then sector two, you have the castle section. It's, you know, a lot of turns. There are 20 turns in total. So it's a very, you know, you're going to need to have a good engine, but you also need to balance the car so that when you're going through the castle section, you're not losing too much time. I have a couple of fun facts about Baku. So there's, as I said, there's only been 6 races because COVID took a couple of years off. No driver has won more than once. So not looking good for the previous race winners because apparently no one's ever won 2. You're going to love this one. Charles Leclerc has the most pole positions with 2, and he's on a streak of 2 consecutive pole positions. So maybe some hope for Ferrari.
I mean, but that's been the story for him, right? Where he's usually good at winning pole, but not maybe winning the race.
But we're going to get to the predictions in a bit. Only 33% of the races have been won from pole position. So one thing to note. So obviously, you know, we all talk about how qualifying and how qualifying is so important because, to quote Will Buxton, if you're the fastest in qualifying, you're in front. And it's good to be in front because then you have the rest of the cars behind you. So obviously pole is very, very important because it gives you a better chance of points.
I mean, in this particular track, Michael, you tend to see a lot of chaos. Overtakes, yeah. I think, in turn one.
Yeah, yeah, because that's off a long straight. Yeah, and you are basically sending it up. Remember, I think in the inaugural race, or 2017 maybe, I think it was 2017 when Ricardo did the he overtook
Bottas.
3 cars up them. No. I think earlier in that race,
yeah.
He overtook 3 cars in turn one, like all
Lewis
on the
Hamilton
inside
too. I think right.
I forget which cars were involved, but I know that Daniel Ricciardo, you know, he did lick the stamp and send it, and had a wonderful...
back then, not so much now, but
no. Now, unfortunately, he's not there. But more fun facts: only Mercedes and Ferrari have started from pole position. So no Red Bull poles. I'm going to skip that fun fact. That's not that fun. But we're going to, and I'm going to use this to segue into the form of the drivers. Sergio Perez has the most podiums in Baku. 1 win, 1 second place, and 2 third places. So a bit of a happy hunting ground for our good friend Checo.
Think he would be the favorite to win the race.
Over Max.
I think so, yeah. I don't think Max has been particularly as good in terms of memory at this track.
Okay.
Not to get into predictions early,
yeah.
But I would think he'd be the favorite coming in.
So heading into this weekend, I'm going to it's been a while since we've spoken about F1 because last week was non-F1 and it's been a while since the last race, so I'm just going to recap the standings. As of right now, Max Verstappen from Red Bull is leading the World Championship with 69 points. Perez, his teammate, in second on 54. Alonso with El Plan is driving for Aston Martin. He is third with 45 points with 3 back-to-back-to-back third-place podiums. Lewis Hamilton is fourth with 38. Sainz is fifth in a Ferrari with 20 points. Stroll, Alonso's teammate, in sixth, tied with Sainz with 20 points. George Russell in seventh with 18. Lando Norris in eighth with 8 points. Hülkenberg in ninth with 6 points. And then, once again, I hate to bring this up, Bobby, but your boy wonder, Charles Leclerc, is 10th in the standings, 10th with 6 points. I mean, what on earth is happening? But, you know, obviously...
not much has changed, though. I mean, obviously, we haven't had a race,
obviously...
not much has changed since that conversation.
And unfortunately, we've already spoken about Leclerc's unfortunate... You know, he had the DNF in Bahrain, then the lonely 6 points in Jeddah, and then crashing out on lap one. So obviously, clearly a race he needs to bounce back on. And as we said, you know, 2 pole positions back-to-back, do you think this could be a track that, you know, he can get back into that championship battle before it's too far?
Well, you would think confidence-wise that someone like Leclerc would feel good at a track that he's had previous success at. The reason why I just pointed to you there was I was going to say, because we had texted about it back and forth. First of all, two things, I guess, coming into this conversation. One, don't trust anything you see on social media, because so many times with F1, people put stuff out there that's obviously not true. I think also to try to get people engaged and sometimes just having it be incorrect information. But at the same time, I do love kind of checking some of that stuff out online, social media-wise.
I think I know where this is going.
Because it gives you something to talk about, mm-hmm. something to think about. And I had even texted you where I said, did you see the rumor? And again, just rumors.
It's just a rumor. Everything's just a rumor. And then I guarantee you, the moment one thing happens, it could kick off a silly season.
Like yes, a silly season. So
that's such a
with
fun thing to say.
Ferrari's troubles, season. We'll say, mm-hmm. and now for the better part, probably of 2 years since midway last year through now, there's probably going to be conversation at some point about changing that driver lineup. And that could potentially mean turning the page on someone like Leclerc. So one of the rumors that was out there, which I think has probably been out there for some time, has been that you could see Lewis Hamilton if things don't work out with Mercedes having an extension there and him. I think he should stay there personally, but would they maybe do a swap to some degree where you would see Hamilton going to Ferrari and Charles ending up in that seat at Mercedes?
I mean, I honestly don't know what to feel about that. So I'm going to play devil's advocate and pretend that I'm Lewis Hamilton. You've seen how Ferrari manages their team. You've seen the blunders and, I mean, I'm going to be honest, and I see you nodding a bit. They've made a couple of mistakes in recent times. So, you know, it's, you know, Ferrari is maybe not the best well-run team. But, you know, one thing to note about the drivers is that Hamilton is out of contract this year. And as for Ferrari and both Leclerc and Sainz, they are out of contract in 2024. So they still have this year and the next. Both Mercedes are out of contract this year. So if anything, I would expect 1 year extensions. And then once everyone's out of contract in 2024, maybe a swap. But I just don't see Hamilton going to Ferrari. I mean, it would make sense having one of the most successful drivers of all time with the most successful team of all time. But I honestly don't see it happening just because I think Hamilton may retire after this year or maybe next year. But
I think it's fun to have those kind of like throw them into the conversations, though, just because I think they are interesting. And it goes back to something I said earlier this season so far, too, which is I do think Leclerc needs to start to produce results. Obviously,
he does. Obviously,
and if he
six
doesn't,
points through three races, I mean,
it's not. It means there's going to be a change.
This is well. I mean,
at
also,
some point, maybe not this year, but at some point,
one of those retirements was because of an engine issue. The second retirement was like a driving incident. So okay, fine. But the point is, I do agree he does need to produce, but it's also you can't put it all on him. But yeah, so that is one.
But
thing
don't you think too, to some degree, Michael? Like I feel like it's like the trend in sports. Maybe not so much in Formula One, even though we saw it with Schumacher, right, going to Mercedes. We'll say to some degree, mm-hmm. at the end of his career. But so many times you see the big name athlete player. I even thought today, because here in New York, right, introductory press conference for the New York Jets for Aaron Rodgers today.
Nice little NFL you know? Friday program.
And
nice.
It's the same thing I feel like, and not saying that Rodgers is not going to be good, not to talk football here, but it's like you have this great player who spent, I think Rodgers like 18 years or something in Green Bay, something
long
ridiculous.
Time, long time, yeah.
And now he's going to come at that 37, 38 yep. years of age type of thing and maybe play out the last couple of years of his career. And I think it's the same thing for Lewis Hamilton. I think Lewis is a big Ferrari fan, even if he doesn't.
According to Sebastian Vettel, everyone's a Ferrari fan.
Yeah, outwardly admit it, right? And I could see him saying, I've done everything in this sport. I've accomplished everything. I'm sure Ferrari would pay him a ridiculous amount of money, even if he's no longer the driver that he once was. And for Lewis, right, what if he was to go there and, let's say, win a championship?
Then he becomes even more revered.
Yeah.
If he does that, but we're talking
yeah, we're
way
getting,
hypothetical.
We're getting way out of
we're getting
way out of
into
hand.
Next year. We don't know if this podcast is going to continue next
into
year.
Next year. But the going back to your question, I guess, I would love to see Leclerc do well, but I also think this is something you and I have spoken about on the podcast before, too. Confidence is one thing. Momentum is another. And right now, things I think are just not right for Ferrari or Mercedes, even to some degree. Mm-hmm. So I think it's hard, even though I've picked them a few times this year to do well, it might be hard to see them bouncing back at any point. And that's why it might really become where it's, you know, Red Bull dominant to the point that it's almost hard to pick any other team to win a race.
Now, enough of the, I guess, big three. There's one team that I neglected a little bit, but we're going to give them some love right now. You know, heading into this race, of course, it's Aston Martin, the talk of the paddock this year. Alonso, you know, who we all want to win a race, at least this season. You know, three podiums on the bounce. Heading into a track that I'm trying to think of his results, but I know in 2018... obviously this was in a McLaren. He was able to get points finishes. But do you think Alonso can keep his consistency? Because obviously, you know, getting podiums is nice, but if he wants to challenge, he's going to have to get off that third place and maybe get into the other steps of the podium. Do you think Alonso and Aston Martin can give him the tools he needs to make that? Or do you think we'll just see him, you know, best of the rest?
Well, I would love to see, again, that sort of rivalry at the top. I could easily – we talked about this on the podcast, too, where Alonso should be in the mix to win a Grand Prix at some point, maybe even this weekend. It would not shock me. I don't know if it's too early for us to get into our predictions, but it would not shock me if he was in the mix at the end of this race. But right now, yeah, I mean, to speak to your point, I really think it has been Aston Martin and Red Bull, and that's probably it. I don't foresee, even as a Ferrari fan, that narrative changing anytime soon. And I just think that even though Mercedes is working vigorously, whether it's like side pods or all these different things that they're working on to try to improve the car, I'm not sure that that's going to come quickly enough, especially to catch up to the Red Bull.
Mm-hmm. Now, you kind of mentioned this. Now it's time for our predictions.
Predictions.
Now, one thing to note is that, as we said at the start of the podcast, it is a bit of a different weekend. So this is going to be a two-parter. I'm going to ask you for your sprint race prediction and then your actual race prediction, just because why not? So I'm going to ask you, I guess I should ask you this as well. Who do you think is going to get pole, and then who's going to win the sprint? I don't even know what the official name is, but who's going to win the sprint race, and then who's going to win the actual race? So let's go with that.
I'll go Checo on pole.
Are we talking for the – sorry, I should have clarified. Are we talking pole for the race or pole for the sprint or both for you?
This is tough.
Yeah.
You know, for the sprint, I'll go Leclerc. Why not? We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, so you're going to say that Checo's going to get pole.
Even though I just said all what I just said about Ferrari, but maybe we'll mix it up here.
So what you're going to say is Perez pole for the race.
For the race.
Leclerc pole for the sprint.
For the sprint.
Okay, so then who wins? So then give me your podium for the sprint. Who gets 8 points? Who gets 7 points? Who gets 6 points?
Podium for the sprint.
Because hopefully, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but because now your position in the sprint doesn't matter for the race, maybe we'll see some more chaos. So I just wanted to get that blurb in. Who do you think is going to be your podium?
So we'll go
sprint?
Leclerc, Max Checo for the sprint.
Okay. And then for the race?
For the race, we'll go Checo on pole.
Yeah. So then who's going to win it?
And then just because, again, I'm rooting to see. I want more content for our podcast.
I think we're doing good on content right now. This is 29
I want
minutes.
More, yeah, I know. But I want more stuff for us to be like, whoa, did you see that? That was crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna you know what? Because I said it would happen this season. I'm going to say Alonso wins the race.
Ooh, okay, and then rounding at the podium?
Checo.
Okay.
And Lewis Hamilton.
Okay, so then I'm going to ask you this.
I'm going to say Max does, like I said, crashes out or something.
I was about to ask you this because you didn't put, so obviously Max. So you're saying Max doesn't finish the race, and then that is how we see El Plan of Alonso.
Yeah, maybe, because that's probably how it's going to have to happen too, right?
Yeah.
There would be something that gives us a different
Something would have
podium
to happen
and race winner.
Happen. Yeah. Okay, so now it's my turn. I'm trying to remember everything I asked you. So I think for pole, for the first qualifying for the actual race. Honestly, because there's more sprint weekends this year, so we're going to be confusing ourselves a lot more on certain races. I think I'm going to say Verstappen on pole for the race. So that means Friday. Because the one thing to note is there's only one practice session, which means you only have one session to get your setup right. or to, you know, try out any new parts. You don't have multiple sets. You only have one. And then everything else is like, hopefully we set it up right. Fingers crossed. I think... So I'm gonna back Verstappen on pole for the race. Then on Saturday, I think it'd be boring if I say Red Bull again. So I'm gonna give it to Leclerc.
I like that.
I regret that a little bit, but I'm gonna give it to Leclerc for the pole on the sprint because it's only a third of the race. For the podium, question: if we say, if you win the sprint, is that a race win or is that just a sprint win?
Well, I mean, I think they qualify it just as a sprint win.
Sprint, okay. I mean, because I would have been like, oh, I could see Alonso winning the sprint. Because, like, that's like, the sprint would be chaotic, if anything, because you're going pedal to the metal for a third of the time. I think it's 17 laps in total. So, obviously, it's very, very fast. I'm going to say, I don't want to say Red Bull 1-2, but, like, you see how dominant that car is. You know, I'm going to say it. A Red Bull 1-2.
Really venturing off here, Michael.
I know. I really am going bold.
Going out on a limb.
I'm going to say, actually, no. A 1-3 Red Bull. I think Alonso could finish second in that sprint easily. And then for the race, so Leclerc does go out of the podium. Sorry. For the race, I don't see anything else other than a Red Bull win. Checo has done very well at this track.
By the way, I think Vegas has Max favored and then Checo second.
Oh, you mean odds? Okay.
In terms of odds.
I thought you were talking about Las Vegas, like the race, and I was like, that race isn't for a while. I'm going to say, just because I'm going to say it's a Red Bull 1-2, but I'm going to switch it up. So Perez, because I think Perez, he's very good at this track. Maybe he can get that win and, I guess, make the championship battle a little bit closer. So I'm going to say Perez wins the actual race on Sunday. Verstappen, I don't see him crashing out. I'm going to say P2. And then third, honestly, it's up for grabs because I know that Mercedes I believe that they're designing new part. Like, they're basically, you know, they've abandoned the side pod concept. So they're going to, maybe we'll see the new car this week. And it's all going to be about that development war, because I think Mercedes, Aston Martin, and Ferrari, those are basically on level footing, just depending on the track characteristics. One team might be better than the other, so that's going to be a week by week. Just because, why not? I'm going to give it to Leclerc. So I think it's going to be Perez, Verstappen, Leclerc for the race. And then, I forget what I said for the sprint. Oh, no, I think I said, who did I say for the sprint? I forget, actually. I forgot what I just said 2 minutes ago. I know I said Alonso second. I think I said Verstappen winning the sprint and Perez finishing third in the sprint. I may have had it reversed.
That's how you.
But now I'm locking it in. It's gonna be Verstappen, Alonso, Perez sprint for the race. Perez, Verstappen, Leclerc.
Again, really going out on a limb here, Michael.
Well, I am. I'm putting Ferrari on a podium. That hasn't happened before this year.
I think for both of us, we should have gone crazy and been like Lance Stroll for the win.
You know what? Next sprint race, I don't know when it is, but if you remind me, I will consider putting Lance as like a one-off podium. But I think that's going to do it for this.
In terms of predictions?
Yeah. Well, and I think for the episode as a whole.
Episode,
is there anything else?
You like to keep it tight now.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Bobby?
Well,
that's F1 related.
F1 related.
Yes.
No, I thought we talked a little bit about rumors. Obviously, news and notes with AlphaTauri news,
and then the pre-race information,
about the sprint predictions. So I would say
I'm gonna add one more thing. Obviously, we gave our podiums and stuff, but I want you to give me a random prediction. Could be anything. Like
random.
Give
prediction.
Me one thing that you think will. Give me one prediction that you think will happen at the race. Could be the randomest thing. Like what's one thing that you want to see?
That I want to see? Or you just said random prediction?
Yeah. Keep in mind, you've already made your picks for, like, the podiums and stuff. For example, you can still say, I want Leclerc to win it all. Like, that'd be one thing that you'd want to see. Like, that could count, but then you kind of invalidated your
This is what I want to see, right? Because I'm obviously a fan of Mr. Ricciardo. So,
oh, Okay.
I'm going to say somehow, some way, one of the two Red Bull drivers isn't available to drive.
Okay. Okay. I like where this is going.
And Ricciardo has to step up in a pinch, especially since he's had success at Baku. How awesome would that be?
So what?
So you can tell I have more of like a movie mind here.
That's
right?
A bold prediction.
That's a bold prediction.
Drive to Survive season. What is this? That would be six. Would love that. You're telling. Okay. Well, that was a bit out of the park. Now I'm trying to think of something that can like compare to that. Logan Sargeant will get his first points this week.
I would love it. Love it.
I think that's a fair prediction because, as we said, Azerbaijan Baku is known for its chaos. So I think either during the sprint you're just going to see a huge crash, or you'll see some just, you know, at some points it can be a race of attrition. I think Logan Sargeant could get his first points, his first ever official Formula One points this weekend. And he has more chances because he has the sprint or he has the actual race. But after that prediction, I think that is all we have for this episode. A huge shout out to Bobby for coming back again for this week. And to all of our listeners, thank you very much for, I guess, spending the past 37 minutes listening to us. Yeah,
very technical.
It's been 37
Michael
minutes. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's about to do it for this episode. We'll be back next week to discuss the post-race
reactions.
Yeah. But yeah, from now, that's it, guys. Have a good one.